we're excited to announce that our 2025 retreats are open for registration. Join us in Minnesota, June 15th through the 21st, for a Regenerate retreat, where you will learn new skills, generate new ideas, or focus on your writing. With lots of opportunities for restoration and networking, you'll leave refreshed and reinvigorated. Tickets start at $1,500 per person. You can also sail the high seas, September 18th through 26th. We'll sail out of Los Angeles on the Royal Caribbean Navigator of the Seas and explore the Mexican Riviera while refining our writing. Whether you're revising a story, reworking a character arc, or tweaking your prose, you'll leave more confident in your current story. Tickets start at $26.50 for writers and $23.50 for family members. To learn more, visit writingexcuses.com/retreats.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 20, Episode 5. This is Writing Excuses.
The Lens of Who.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Howard.
I'm Dong Lan.
I'm Erin.
And we've got a whole bunch of episodes queued up for you talking about the Lens of Who. And I want to introduce this tool, this lens, by asking a question of my fellow hosts and, sure, of you, fair listener. What's the most you and I must have seen a different movie or you and I must have read a different book moment you've ever had with a friend?
So mine is actually a game, and it's one of my favorite examples, so I may have said it before. But when I played Dragon Age Inquisition, a friend of mine also played it. And it's a game where you save the world and magic, what have you. But my friend was like, I love that dragon killing game. And I was like, dragon killing game? I guess there's a side quest where you can kill dragons. And he was like, yeah, I killed every dragon in the game. And then I was upset because there was no achievement for that. And I was like, yes, because that's not what the game is about at all.
Yeah.
The game is not, that's not the purpose. But for him, he was playing this epic dragon killing game and only saving the world enough to level up to kill more dragons. And I thought, wow, how exciting that this game has room for both your hunting experience and my actual narrative saving the world experience.
This is the face of me trying to remember, there are dragons in that game?
Yeah, that,
that's, I mean, my, I know it's that's called Dragon Age, but like, anyways.
Well, the point here is that, and I've said this before, the largest part of what you get out of a book or a movie or a game comes through what you brought with you mm-hmm. to the book or the movie or the game. I can't count the number of times where I've come away from a film just having loved it and talked to somebody, you're like, oh, that was cliche. It was awful. It was boring. It was whatever. And it was exactly what I wanted. How are we so different? And often those conversations jokingly end with, well, I guess you and I can't be friends. But our perspectives are too different for us to have had that.
Yeah, but I think what you bring in with your interest and your how you engage with it does change it quite radically, right? Like, to bring another game example, I'm a huge fan of FromSoft games. And these games are, this is the Dark Souls series, Elden Ring, Bloodborne, and they're most notorious for having a part of the community that we derisively call the get good part of the community, who just insists that you have to play the game in the hardest way possible, never looking anything up, never asking any friends, and that if you're not good enough to be the game, then you just shouldn't be playing it. And I think they could not be misinterpreting the intention of the design more. That to me, the game is very much about how difficult it is to go to do things by yourself And that instead, what we need to do is to reach out to the people around us, to the community, and find resources, find information, and find help. And but also, like, how hard it is to get clear information and to get help. And I think it's a really beautiful meditation on the human experience because of its difficulty, but also because of its community. But that's maybe just me bringing my own lens to it and my own perspective of what it means to be a person in the world.
And what I love about that is thinking about fiction, like if you took your Get Good player and your Bring Your Community In player and dropped you both in the zombie apocalypse, how differently would you approach things? Like, how differently would you take the exact same urgent problem? Like, you would be like, oh, who can I reach out to? And they'd be like, I don't know, Get Good Killing Zombies or what have you. And I think that's so interesting, is that a lot of times I think it's easy to get really attached to a character as a person. Like, you like embody them, like, this is what Ginny would do. And so you sometimes don't get a chance to think about what are all the things that make up the character that you've created. And like, what are all those lenses that they bring from other situations that happened before they were in this plot of this story right now?
And that's also, that's one of the things that will lead a character to being monodimensional, is that the writer only brings one lens to the character. That, I mean, how many characters have you seen in stories that appear to not have a family or friends outside this story? Like, they don't have anything outside the story. They exist only to do this one quest, and they feel extremely flat. When you start thinking about all of the different lenses that you can apply to that character, often by looking at the lenses in your own life, that's when you can start making a character that's multidimensional.
And, you know, in talking about this overarching concept of the way who we are colors our perception, influences our perception of what's around us, the lens of who is how your audience will relate to what's on the page. If you don't understand how that lens works, you will put things on the page and the audience will have reactions that you did not expect, or not just that you didn't expect, that you didn't want, because the lens may have been distorted. When we say lens, though, there's so many pieces to this that we're going to cover in episodes that come up. Relatability. When we say that a character is relatable, when we say, you know, a character has depth, when we talk about POV tools, you know, first person, second person, third person, omniscient, limited, so on and so forth, all of these are aspects of that lens that we'll be covering in upcoming episodes.
We've been talking about this, and you know, the last episode we just discussed puppetry, and that was a lens that I bring to the way I experience the world. And much like that, one of the things that will happen to me as a puppeteer is that when I am performing some types of puppetry, I will remember the scene later as if I am looking through the character's gaze, even though it's obviously an object that is in front of me or above me. And this is a thing that will happen to readers as well. If the character is having moments that are emotionally compelling, and it's always the really emotionally compelling things that happen to me, when this happens to me in performance. If the character is having emotionally compelling moments on the page, your reader is going to remember things through the character's eyes. They're going to, how many times have you had this experience, right? Where you're like, oh yeah, I can't remember much of that book, but I really remember being at the side of the road. I remember the rain pelting down as if you had actually experienced it yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's important to remember that humans are wired to care about other humans, right? The way we experience the world is through relationship, right? And it's why when I talk about like stakes, right, in a story, I'm always like, well, what relationship is at stake here? That's where tension comes from, but that's true of the reader to the character as well, right? We want to know the person's emotions, interiority, and perspective, and that's how you pull people into the story. That's how you get people to understand it, because we are always already seeing it through the lens of character. It is impossible for us to not do so, I think.
Yeah, and I think also you don't have to share, and I don't think any of us are saying this, the character's lens in order to care about that character.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think like sometimes there are characters who are difficult, who challenge us in some way, who make us uncomfortable, you know, that, you know, we don't want to be necessarily looking through that lens, but it's still so compelling in the same way that people look at horrible things online all the time that maybe they don't wish they were, but yet they keep doing it. And so I think it's really interesting to think about the main thing is that the lens is true to the character, not that it is necessarily the shiniest or the prettiest, just that it is actually emotionally grounded.
I mean, so many of my favorite characters are just absolute miserable bastards. You know what I mean? And just like, you know, the one that comes to mind is I watched True Detective Night Country recently. Jodie Foster plays the main character in it and is just miserable, just like an awful person who was still trying to do good and still trying to do a thing and still the protagonist hero of the story. And I ended up caring about her very deeply. But the joy of sometimes having a character that you don't necessarily automatically align with is it starts, it gets you to ask the questions of why is this person like this, right? What made them this way? What are their reasons for being the way that they are? And then that gives you an excuse to dig into all the context of that character, where they came from, what was their childhood like, why did they believe what they believe, what systems are they embedded in, all of those things. And so the lens of a character, and you don't have to do an awful character. I think that's fun and delicious, but, you know, to each their own. But, you know, the excuse to dig into the why of a character, and I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but like that is the thing that enriches the who.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got another exciting question for my co-hosts after these messages from our sponsors.
Heading into the new year, we're all thinking about what our intentions and goals are. It's hard not only to set your targets, but live up to them, especially as writers and creatives in a world that doesn't always seem eager to support you financially. That's why building your financial literacy and starting to work towards a stable financial base is an important aspect of developing your writing career. We talk a lot about the creative tools you need, but peace of mind about your bottom line will give you the space to pursue your goals and develop the career that you want. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorn lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. Head to acorns.com/WX or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/WX. I always recommend writers have their own websites. It's important to have a place on the web where you can make sure people can find your press kit, upcoming releases, and bibliography. Even if you're not published yet, being out there and establishing a digital identity is incredibly important. So when Kinsta reached out, we thought they'd be a good fit for our audience's needs. They take care of the technical stuff so you can focus on your writing. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and unmatched human-only customer support. They offer you complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress sites are always online, secure, and performing at their best. Kinsta provides enterprise-grade security and is one of the few hosting providers for WordPress with SOC 2 and other certifications that guarantee the highest level of security for your website. And Kinsta customers can experience up to 200% faster sites by simply moving their WordPress sites to the platform. They even have a user-friendly custom dashboard called My Kinsta that makes managing your site or multiple sites a breeze. My Kinsta is packed with a range of features that simplify site management, including tools for cache control, debugging, redirects, geolocation, and even CDN setup. And thanks to their unlimited, free, expert-led migrations, Kinsta ensures a smooth transition from other hosting providers, so you won't experience any downtimes. Plus, their 24/7, 365 human-only support is available in multiple languages, ready to assist with any inquiries, regardless of site complexity. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited-time offer for new members on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we've talked about getting characters, you know, as lenses. It sounds to me like it would be helpful if you just wrote the every character's biography before sitting down to write the story. But I'm pretty sure none of you have actually done that level of pre-writing. Where's the shortcut? Can you please tell me where the shortcut is so I can write less? Pre-write less and be able to write more.
When playing tabletop games, there's a character generation sheet that I like to use that has a list of questions on it. And some of them are useful, like what's your character's name, blah, blah, blah. The one that I think is the most useful to understand where characters come from, and this comes from Abria Iyengar, who's internet professional GM. She asked a question that blew my mind and I use in every game now, which is, what is the lie that your character believes about the world? And when you can answer that question, that automatically puts you in so much deep context about the character. So if you just have that one sentence about each character in your setting, you can already have so much to play with in terms of how they're going to bounce off each other, how they're going to react, how they're going to see the world.
That just made me think of, I love that. And it just made me think of another question that I would ask, which is, what is the truth that your character is afraid to know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think... And those could be completely different things, or they could be related to each other. But I really do think that I wish I thought that deeply. Yeah. I was like, wow, I wish I knew that about my characters. I think a lot of times Dan talked in a previous episode about details and the importance of details. And a lot of times I like to discover characters through the details.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that is that my own subconscious mind is doing some work somewhere. So that when I start writing, I will throw it, like my mind will generate an interesting detail. Like, she only ate grits for 10 years for every meal. Don't know why. And then I'll think, well, why the heck would anybody do that? Mm-hmm. Subconscious brain. And then I try to take the things that are subconscious and make them conscious. And that tells me a little more about the character. Maybe I've decided that she's just like a grits enthusiast. Okay. Interesting to know. Then knowing that, I keep writing, and then maybe another detail comes out. She likes to light kites on fire. Okay, like that's an interesting second thing. How does that relate to the information I know? And so it's a very discovery, because I'm a discovery writer, it's a very discovery method of character. But the more details you add, trying to make them all connect, it's like having a friend that you learn a really interesting fact about, and you go, well, how do I make this fact work with everything else I understand about you?
Let me come to the grits really quickly because, no, hang on. If I were to say, oh, yeah, when I was in college, I ate nothing but potatoes for 4 years. Okay. That's not true. All right. That might be a thing that I would say because I was eating cheap. But if we roll back and look at, you know, my budget when I was in college, well, one of the things that I ate a lot of was other people's pizza. You know, they would share a slice of pizza with me. And maybe that... And I'm now speaking as if I'm, you know, the character of Grits. Maybe they did eat other things, but it was food that was given to them. There was some shame in having had to rely on other people for the actual nutrition. They remember making the grits for themselves, but they don't remember the gifts of food that were keeping them alive. And so we have this truth that they are telling themselves about how much they made grits, and the lie that they're afraid to face, which is that they didn't depend on other people when in fact they did. And so, and yeah, when the question that you ask about that one thing that they said explodes into so many different things.
So I don't use either of those approaches. And I love them both, but I don't use either of them. And the approach that I use varies, my shortcut varies. Sometimes it's the, what is the hole the character is trying to fill? Sometimes it's the interesting telling details. I do use that sometimes, but I don't have a particular set thing. And using a puppetry metaphor, because I've got them. When I was an intern at the Center for Puppetry Arts, each of my, I was embedded in the show, and there were three principal performers, and each of them took time to teach me. And they would all say, this is how I approach the character. And one of them said, you start with the figure and you look at what the figure can do. And then that tells you the choices that you need to make to support the figure. And another one said, you start with the text and you figure out what the text tells you, so that then you can figure out how to make the figure do what you need to do to support the text. And another one said, you start with the voice, and then you figure out how you use the voice to shape the text to support what the character does. And the thing is that the audience didn't know and didn't care what their process was. At the end of the day, all the audience cares about is that your character feels alive. Mm-hmm. And so whatever tool it is that we offer to you over the next episodes, that tool is the tool that works for you. And it'll be a different tool for each character, probably.
Well, this is what I love about talking about tools, not rules, right? Because as we're giving you tools, the lens of who you are as a person influences your tool choice, influences your lens choice. What you reach for, whether it's the interesting character detail or like, philosophically, what makes this person tick, or, you know, a variety of different ways of reaching for things, as Mary Robinette does, like all of that are rooted in our experience and our perspective and our interests as people, right? Like, I'm very much somebody who is like, what does make that person tick? You know what I mean? Like, and what those things emerge, or how those things emerge, will influence your writing and your process. But the goal is that the audience, you're right, doesn't know what tool you use. They're enthralled by the story. They're charmed by a character. They're connected.
And as I said earlier, you want to have a measure of control over what it is the audience is going to come away with. Except the audience has their own lens, and so there's really only so much of that that you can control. And it may sound like a rule when I say, well, you want to be a good enough writer to be able to have some control over this. And yet, the exception to that rule is so glorious. If you can be a good enough writer that what you put on the page, you have no idea how anyone else will mm-hmm. react to it. Well, that is its own...
This is why specificity matters, right? Going back to what Dan said and what Aaron's saying earlier, the reason specificity contains the universal in it is because if you're trying to be general, you're trying to control how your audience is going to react. When you're trying to be broad, you're saying, oh, this is for all of your lenses, right? But if instead you focus on your own, if you lean into the specificity of your perspective, lean into the specificity of a character, that they are a person who comes from a place who has a context, then other people will connect their own lenses to that in their own way. If you try to do that work for them, it doesn't work, because we each bring our own things to the table. So the best thing that you can do is to be as specific as you can, and accept that you can't control everybody, and that your book, in being for someone, is not for somebody else. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's not just okay. That's essential.
I was just at the Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles. And one of the things that they have is they have a place where they have three different literal lenses looking at the sun. One of them is showing you the sun in white light. One of them is showing it to you in only infrared. And another is breaking it apart into a spectrum. And so you're seeing the same literal object three completely different ways. And that's one of the things that the lenses that we bring to bear does, is it, the reason it's important that each of us brings our own lens is that we are looking at these universal truths in these very specific ways that allows people to understand and bring their own truth to it. But the thing is also that, again, everybody who approaches those, somebody who is red-green colorblind is going to look at that spectrum one and not see the same things that I do. They will still see something that is amazing and wonderful, but they will have a different experience. So thinking about the experience that you want the reader to have, which lenses that you're going to bring to bear to try to help them see the thing you want them to see, but also be okay if they don't, if they don't see it, if they don't get it.
One of my favorite tools is one that, and this is an after-the-fact tool, is one that Mary Robinette provided to me, which is when someone comes up to you and describes something in your book that really affected them, and clearly it's because you did this and this and this, you know, and the response is, oh, I'm so glad you noticed that. I didn't put that in there on purpose is not the thing you say. The thing you say is, I'm so happy you noticed that. Because honestly, as a writer, and when I say honestly, I mean literally honestly, the thing that I get the most joy from is when someone notices a thing, when they feel a thing, when they have an experience with a thing that I put on the page. That is the best thing.
Yeah. One of the things that I love that I know a lot of other writers hate is I love listening to someone else read my stuff out loud because the way they interpret it is not the way it is in my head. And it is the closest I can come to experiencing it through someone else's lens. And it is really disconcerting sometimes, but also glorious. One of the other things that I just kind of want to slip in here is when we're talking about these lenses, I also want you, the reason we're talking about, let's give you all of these tools, is that you as a writer will be a different person every day you sit down to write.
Yes.
You're having a bad day, you're going to bring a different lens to the table. You're having a really fantastic day, different lens. You know, it's just, this is why we want to give you as broad a toolbox as possible.
I also just think that that's a fun thing to remember about characters, is that characters grow and change, not just in the big moments, but sometimes like characters can have an off moment or say the wrong thing. I think there are some times where it's like you love your character so much that you don't want them to like slip in any way. But it is the variations within us. It's the variations in our lenses that also make them so special.
And, you know, this is really gets to the core of why I love tabletop gaming so much, because it's entirely about character, right? You're always experiencing a world and a story and a setting through the individual characters' perspectives. But because it's collaborative and improvisational, also what I put out there immediately gets refracted back to me by filtering through the lens of all the other players at the table. And so we are collaborating on a thing by reflecting and refracting constantly what each of us is bringing to the table and through the character perspective of their own lens in addition to ours. So the interplay of all of that is the thing that I find so delightful and fascinating and endlessly entertaining about tabletop.
And I think these notes lead us perfectly into the homework. Sort of an inverted Mary Robinette here. Instead of having someone else read what you wrote, I want you to write what someone else says. Interview two friends. Write down their answers and yours, if you want to contribute, as completely as possible. Just two questions. What is the happiest memory they think of first? And describe a person and circumstance that positively and dramatically influenced them before the age of 18.
This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dongwon Song, Aaron Roberts, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.